So we've been talking about doubt, the thief of God's greater blessings. I'm going to recap a little bit of what we talked about last week. If you just look on your sheet, let's see, do I have that on your sheet? Yeah, I do. Well, let's look at Mark 6. We'll look at Mark 6 first. It says, Mark 6:5, "Now he could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them, and he marveled because of their unbelief. Then he went about the villages in a circuit teaching." And this Matthew 13:53, this is the same passage in a different gospel. It says, "Now it came to pass when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed from there. When he had come to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue. So they were astonished and said, 'Where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Where then did this man get these things?' So they were offended at him. But Jesus said to him, 'A prophet is not without honor, except in his own country and his own house.' Now he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief." So he couldn't do mighty works there because of their unbelief. Let's read verse 6 again. Mark 6:6 says, "And he marveled because of their unbelief. Then he went about villages in a circuit teaching." So what's the cure for unbelief? It's teaching. Jesus went about teaching. Now there's, as long as you receive it, there's ignorance. People can have ignorance and not know the word, and so they can be in unbelief. But you can also reject the word and just refuse to believe. And like we were talking about last week, Jesus himself was limited. It says he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Jesus himself could not do works because of the people's unbelief. And we went into some things. We're not going to take time to go over those again about the unbelief of a congregation, a crowd, and how that will affect things. You can listen to last week's message. But I did want to go over a little bit what we covered in the latter part. And that is, let's turn to Matthew. Let's go ahead and turn there. Matthew 17. Matthew 17, 14. Matthew 17, verse 14 says, "When they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, 'Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic or lunatic and suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him.' Then Jesus answered and said, 'O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me.' And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, 'Why could we not cast it out?' So Jesus said to them, 'Because of your unbelief. For assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you.'" Verse 21 says, "However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting." That's another, not really getting into that. But he said, verse 20, "Because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will be move, and nothing will be impossible for you." So why did he say, when the disciples said, "Why can we not cast it out?" What was Jesus' answer? "Because of your unbelief," is what he said. He gave him the answer. Let's look on your sheet, Matthew 10, verse 1. It says, when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. So Jesus had already given the disciples power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and disease. So here they came and said, why can't we cast it out? They had already seen others cast out. And notice, you know, Matthew 10 is before Matthew 17. So this happened before Matthew 17. Jesus had already told them, you have power. He gave them power to cast out devils. And so they came and said, well, why can't we do it? And Jesus said, because of your unbelief. And we talked about this a little bit last week. Jesus said, you can cast out the devils. And they said, well, we can't do it. Why not? But Jesus said, well, you're not believing. It's because of your unbelief. And then what did Jesus do? He cast out the devil. So they weren't believing what Jesus told them. I think we'll get an illustration here in a little bit about that. But let's see. Yeah, let's go over there now. I'm going to read this to you. Brother Hagin wrote this. He said, on September 2nd, 1950, the Lord appeared unto me in a vision about 10 a.m. or 10 o'clock at night. In that vision, Jesus laid the finger of his right hand upon the palms of my hands. When he did this, my hands began to burn as if I had a coal of fire in them. Jesus told me that he had called me and anointed me to have a special ministry to the sick. I had been praying for the sick for years. He told me that when I was praying for a sick person, I should lay one hand upon one side of the body and the other hand upon the other side of the body. He said if the fire within my hands jumped from hand to hand, that would mean there was an evil spirit within the body of the person. It's a particular sign. And the way God anointed Brother Hagin in particular. If it does not jump from hand to hand, then it is a case of healing only. The Bible differentiates between the casting out of the devils and healing of the sick. Jesus told me in this vision to lay hands upon the sick and pray for them. He said that if the fire does jump from hand to hand, then I should cast out the devil in Jesus' name. He said that in his name, the devil or the demons would leave the person's body. At my very next meeting, which was in Oklahoma, a fellow came over to the service from Arkansas. One night in the meeting, this fellow said that he had tuberculosis of the spine. Several different doctors had examined him. His spine was rigid and his back was as stiff as a board. I laid one hand on his chest and one hand on his back, and I could feel that fire jumping from hand to hand. So I knew then that an evil spirit was oppressing his body. Now, it doesn't, like Brother Hagin said here, and if you look in the Bible, not everything's an evil spirit. That's a healing. But there are evil spirits that do enforce healing. They're enforce sickness, and you can see that clearly in the Word. You saw one right here that Jesus cast out the devil, and the boy was healed. But that's not the case every time. You'd have to add to the Bible to make that so. There are cases where it's just, yeah, you have something wrong with your body, but then there can be something wrong with your body, and there's a demon behind it. You know, I've read cases where the person's deaf. Yeah, okay, technically, the nerves in the ear, you know, there might be a disruption there, or somebody that's blind could be, if you looked at it, you'd say, well, the optical nerve is dead. Well, fine, that's the natural diagnosis, but the fact is there's a demon behind it oppressing it. And seeing where people cast out the demon, and the eyes came back. They could see again. It was all corrected. Ears, they could hear. And so there's a difference. So don't get off. Not everything's a demon. But there are demons. There are such things as demons. And just like the Bible said, you just read the Gospels, you'll see that Jesus cast out demons. Now that isn't just a misunderstanding that poor old Jesus didn't know what was really happening. And so, you know, he called it a demon. But really we know it was just a sickness or, you know. No. The Bible is true. What the Bible said is true. The Bible said he cast out a demon. There was a demonic power behind that was enforcing it. That's what the Bible, you'd have to misread. I mean, you can't say, I believe Jesus. I believe the words of the Christ and then go read the Gospels and say anything, and Acts and see anything different. It's pretty clear. You see it left and right. Plus, that's not the only place it talks about it. I mean, the Bible talks about demons and devils throughout, in different places in the New Covenant, in the New Testament. It says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and so on and so forth. The Bible says that you see in Revelation, Satan, you know, you see demonic powers in different places. So they're real. They're just not behind everything. There's a lot of things that people do that are just people, that are just flesh. Now, ultimately, all evil is emanating from the devil at its root, you know, back when man fell and so on and so forth. But, you know, people, it seems like they go in one ditch or the other. No devil, or if they believe in the devil, fine, but there's certainly no demons on the earth. Or fly right past all that and go over to where everything's a demon and everything's the devil. But the truth is in the middle. Okay, there absolutely are demons and evil spirits, just like there are angels, Jesus, they're supernatural. And they cause some things. There are things that are motivated absolutely by a demonic force. You can see, you know, there are things that people would call mental illness that's actually demonic oppression. There are people that look crazy, and their fact is they're possessed. Possession's pretty extreme, but they're at least, that does happen, but oppressed, pushed. That's real. On the other hand, not everyone is a demon. So you'd make a mistake to go and say, well, every case of a certain thing is always a demon. See, people get into error that way. And then they're trying to cast out demons when there's no devil. And then you get people hurt. And, you know, you got to be really careful when you're dealing with this stuff and you come up and say, I'm going to cast the devil out of you. You know, that would scare a lot of people. Right? You don't just, you know, because you saw somebody on TV do it, well, I'm going to try that. You know, I just think maybe you have a demon. Let's try it. Well, either it's, number one, if you're a Christian, the demon is not in your spirit, but he can't oppress your flesh. That doesn't mean you're not demon-possessed. A Christian, a true Christian, cannot be demon-possessed. Can't take you over. Now, you could let him in to your soul, your mind. You could let him into your body in different ways, but you'd have to really be messing with some stuff. That doesn't just happen. In other words, you're not just walking down the street one day and all of a sudden something happens and you have a demon. This doesn't happen. People mess with stuff that they shouldn't, and open themselves up. Go places they shouldn't. People say stupid stuff. Well, you know, we just want to go and reach unbelievers, so we'll go in the bars and stuff. You don't want to go into bars. They're all, you talk to them on the street when they come out. I'm serious. I've been in bars, you know, and past life, I've done stupid stuff. But you don't need to go there. You don't need to, that's an excuse. Well, I need to go where the lost are. Well, you better know what God's telling you. And people do not go to a bar just to go. They're going there to get drunk, most of them, or to hang out. The spirits, and don't think that there aren't spiritual forces in there. If you go and mingle there, you are mingling with those spiritual forces. You don't want to do that. We don't fear them, but I'm not stupid either. You don't want to be stupid about it. You don't want to allow yourself. Don't watch things that you shouldn't. Well, I just like to get scared in a horror movie. That's dumb. There's images, if you put in your mind, you're going to have a hard time getting them out. Why even put them in? I won't look at certain things. I wouldn't watch, there's PG movies that people, well, it's a PG movie. Yeah, but it has images in there I don't want to put in my head. Because they're straight out of hell. It's fear. I don't need that thing coming back to me when I'm, you know, walking down in the basement. I don't need it. I mean, you just don't need it. I'm a grown man, and I live, I have authority over my house, I know that, but you know, when I'm walking down the street, I just don't need another new image of something floating through my head. I just don't need that. So why put that into your consciousness? I mean, I had things that I saw when I was growing up through advertisements, or I mean, particular this one movie, never saw it for real. It was rated R. It was a horror movie. But man, you know how it is in the public. It was in magazines and stuff. So I remember I go to the dentist, and man, these creatures are on the front of the thing. And you know, I'm young, so I'm like, you know,
I don't want to look at it, but I'm curious, you know. So then I'm stupid and I'm looking through it, and then I go home and I can't sleep and I'm yelling. At night, my dad comes in, and what's going on? You know, Papa, you know, just woke him up and stuff. And I had long time, years to get that stuff out to where I could just be like, yeah, that doesn't matter. Because I had those images in my head. You don't need, as a Christian, to, well, I can take it. Why take it? You know, why? You know, I can take so much poison, so I'm going to take, you know, I can take 5 milligrams of this stuff. I'm going to show how tough I'm going to do 4. What? Why do that? I don't know why I'm getting off on all that. But anyway, don't go there. Don't mess with it. But there's real. But then you don't have to go, there's devil behind every doorknob. You know, it's just, you don't have to do that either. Anyhow. So, Brother Hagin, he said, I laid one hand on his chest and one hand on his back. I could feel the fire jumping from hand to hand. So I knew then that the evil spirit was oppressing his body. I commanded the evil spirit to come out of him in the name of Jesus. The evil spirit was in his body, not in his spirit. You see, your body is not redeemed yet. Hallelujah. After I commanded the evil spirit to come out of the man's body, just let me stop again. The devil will try to play tricks with you. Well, maybe you got a demon. Maybe you got some. I mean, if you've heard certain things, I don't know. If you people try to mess with your mind, you don't have to worry about that. If you're a Christian and you're thinking, fine, you don't have to worry about that. You don't have to constantly rebuke the devil. He can try to oppress you just by the thought of certain things. So if you've ever had thought, you just need to shut that down and say, wait, no, I'm fine. Because the fear of certain things, you can start fearing it, and then you're opening the door to it. So you just need to shut the door and say, no, I'm fine. I think fine, I'm fine. Devil, you have no authority in me. You have no authority in my house. You have no authority in my body. So leave and quit harassing me in the name of Jesus. And just walk at peace. Because he can try to oppress you. I remember the first house that I bought back in Lincoln. I bought this house from a gentleman, and he was not seriously into certain things. I think he just played with it. I think he jacked around with stuff. You know, he played these video games and had some devil stuff, kind of like he would just tend to like certain movies and all this stuff. And I knew him from work, but I knew he was into certain, not seriously. He liked certain types of things. But when I moved into my house, then I bought the house from him. You know, I was seriously thinking about some things. I had thoughts about what's going on here. I don't know. I'm kind of a little bit sketchy about what's the spiritual climate like in here when I'm moving in. I was a little bit, you know, I had thoughts about it. And, you know, I moved in this house. Of course, I'm alone. I live alone. And not married at that time. I was single. And I remember I wanted Pastor Gill, my pastor at that time, to come over, and I just wanted him to, you know, see the place, but then just pray over it and everything. And when he came in, he just said, oh, I can just sense a peace here. It's just like the peace of God is here. Because I was like, I had told him about it. And I was kind of a little bit scared. And when he came in, he goes, oh, no. He goes, the peace of God is here. He goes, but he prayed with me. But it was really just me just being a little bit, just thinking and yielding to the enemy. But, you know, I just went through that place. I prayed over it. And I just said, this is my house. I own this house. I will not be ever bullied or pushed around in my house. I'm never going to be afraid in my house or on my property. And just went on from there. But don't ever entertain the enemy trying to knock you around with the spiritual realm. There is a spiritual realm, but we don't have to fear any bit of it as Christians. We have authority over it. So don't ever fear it. The devil tries to give you image. See, that's why these horror movies are stupid to watch, because it gives you an image of what the devil wants you to believe he looks like. But if we saw him, you'd be like, is that the Bible says, you're going to say, is this the one that tormented the nations? This guy? Really? You know, people that have seen demons, they're not these big, huge, hulking things with fangs and everything. They look like little monkeys, imps. I'm serious. Yeah. And I remember hearing Andrew Womack tell the story of there's this one room in some house that he had family with or whatever. And there's one house. This is one room in the house. This stuff's real, okay, that nobody wanted to go into. I mean, weird stuff would happen in this room. Not all this stuff is made up. When you hear people, there is really hauntings, okay? There are. That's not to put fear in you, but this is real. People that have yielded to stuff. And so evidently in this room, this one room, I mean, there was stuff going on. Finally, Andrew Womack decided, I'm gonna do something about this. And he went in, and he shut the door behind him, and he closed his eyes, and he was just like, you know, going to take on the devil. And he said he just had this image of these huge, you know, like demonic beings just hovering over him, you know, just ready to take him out. And it was only the blood of Jesus that was holding him back from just, you know, just big hulking things like you see in these people try, or the movies try to portray. And the Spirit of God spoke to him and said, if that's not the way it is at all. If you could see in the Spirit, you would see these little imps. They're like these, you know, you ever see the cartoons where there's some little person walking down the hall and their shadows, you know, like Tweety Bird, I think. One time he was like going like this and it looked like this big monster Tweety Bird, and he comes across, you know, he comes around the corner, it's like, you know, little Tweety Bird. That's exactly the way the devil is. He's like doing these stupid things on the wall. Be, oh, I'm so big. And see, he gets all these people to do all this stupid stuff in Hollywood to show how big and bad he is and to show how the evil's taken out the good and all that. And they're just super powerful. I mean, I've seen things you see in even some stories that demonic beings just huge, you know, just throwing the good people around. That's not true. That's propaganda. You know what propaganda is, right? I mean, they're lies to try to get across a point, and it's not true. It's the devil trying to sell this load of goods, saying, I'm a big, bad guy. You should be scared of me. But really, he's not. You know, he's like the Wizard of Oz, the guy behind the curtain. I don't like that movie, by the way, but everybody knows what I'm talking about. It's got a bad spirit behind it. But I'm serious about that, too. It's monkeys and stuff. Ugh, witch. It's got a cult. Read about it. Look it up. There's stuff that are influences on that movie. I'm not kidding. Anyway, but that's the way the devil is. He's like the guy that tried to make everybody scared, but he's not so bad. Anyway, don't know why we got off on all that, but we'd do it. Don't be scared of the enemy. You bring this stuff up, sometimes people get scared. So the evil spirit was not in his body, it was in his body, not his spirit. You see, the body, your body is not redeemed. So this man came up. Remember, I'm going to read this again because we talked about a few things. At my very next meeting, which was in Oklahoma, so Jesus told him and anointed him in this particular way that if he put his hands on and there was like a fire jumping between his hands really quick like this, then the person had a demon. If not, it was just a normal case of healing. You would know how to deal with it. Discerning of spirits. Brother Hagin operated in that. He could see in the spiritual realm as the spirit willed. So he said, at my very next meeting, which was in Oklahoma, a fellow came over to the service from Arkansas. One night in the meeting, this fellow said that he had tuberculosis of the spine. Several different doctors had examined him. His spine was rigid and his back was as stiff as a board. I laid one hand on his chest and one hand on his back, and I could feel that fire jumping from hand to hand. So I knew then that an evil spirit was oppressing his body. I commanded the evil spirit to come out of him in the name of Jesus. The evil spirit was in his body, not his spirit. You see, your body is not redeemed yet. After I commanded the evil spirit to come out of the man's body, I missed it and got into unbelief. Now remember, we're talking about unbelief. And like Jesus ministering to the to this boy, when the disciples came up to him and said, Lord, why can't we cast it out? And Jesus said, it's because your unbelief. And Jesus had told them, he had given them power to cast out devils and to lay hands on the sick, to heal the sick. And so they couldn't cast this one out. And they were asking Jesus, he said, it's because your unbelief. They said, we can't do it. And Jesus did it. So in that context, that's why we're going into this. So after I commanded the evil spirit to come out of the man's body, I missed it and got into unbelief. The word of God operates by faith. How did I miss it? I asked the man if he could stoop over, and he said he couldn't. I told him to try it again. But the word won't work by trying it. It only works by faith. I got into unbelief by saying this, so the evil spirit still didn't come out of the man's body. The man couldn't stoop over. I told him to try bending over a third time, and it still didn't work. The man couldn't bend over. So I sent him back to his seat. As he was walking down the aisle to return to his seat, Jesus appeared to me. Jesus said to me, "I said, in my name, demons will be cast out. Call them out in my name." I spoke to Jesus and told him that I knew he had said it, but that the demon had not left the man's body. He told me the same thing again. I said, "I know you said that, Jesus, but the evil spirit did not leave." Jesus said, "I told you, in my name, evil spirits will be cast out. Call them out in my name." So I said again, "Lord, I know you said that." And this isn't in this account, but I've heard Brother Hagin say on the account. So he comes back to Jesus again and said, Jesus said, "I told you that if you cast them out, they would leave." And Brother Hagin came back and said, "Yeah, I know you said that, but he didn't leave." And Jesus just, he said he snapped back and he said he had fire in his eye. He said, "I said they would," and he disappeared. Jesus is nice, but he's firm. You see it in the word. He said, "I said they would." And then it dawned on Brother Hagin what he was saying. And that's what he said then. He said, "Then I realized what Jesus was trying to get over to me. I called the man back up in the front and I told the man that he was free. And I told him to reach over and touch his toes. This time I didn't say try. He did, and he was free. Doubt had been robbing me of my faith. It isn't enough to sit there and agree and say amen. You've got to be a doer of the word in order to make faith work." So you see what was going on. "I know what you said, but it's not working. But I said you have authority." "Well, so I believed your word, God. You said," or, "I laid hands on the sick and they didn't recover," or, I prayed and this didn't leave. "But the word says to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover," or whatever scripture, whatever verse you're standing on. You can imagine Jesus saying the same thing. "But," you could say, but I did that and it didn't work. "But the word says it will work." "But I did it and it didn't work." What's the problem? It's unbelief. Because what do we believe in more? I'm looking, I'm seeing it not leave, and so I believe that, but God said it would. What am I going to believe? This is doubt. I'm looking. So what did the disciples went and they said, see, Jesus gave them authority to cast out demons. They came to one and it didn't come out. Just like this, just like what Brother Hagin did. He did it, and it didn't come out. We'll see if you can do anything about that. It didn't come out. "When we're going to try it again?" "Well, it didn't come out." "Okay, well, I guess it doesn't work." That's what people do. "I guess it didn't work." So what is it influencing you? What you see? I'm not saying what you see doesn't matter. It does. But what matters more? Is God's word, because something didn't happen, now God's word's false? It changed. It was true, but because this didn't move, now it's false. But it's still true, so then what has to move? So then what we do is we back off. We draw back and say, "Well, I don't know. Something's wrong. Oh, well." There you go. We have to be immovable and say, "I don't care. I don't care if it's..." Well, what if it doesn't happen right away? What does that mean? Why didn't it work? Who said it didn't work? Who said it's not working? So the moment you drop to say it didn't work, you just said that God's word failed. What if it takes 3 weeks? What does that have to do with it? 3 weeks in God's time is barely even noticeable. I'm not saying it has to take a long time. I'm not saying it doesn't. But when did God's word start failing? When time elapsed? Because that's when your faith will be tested. "Well, I did that and it didn't work right away." So what does that mean? You start getting into questioning. What does it mean? The devil will give you thoughts. What does it mean? "I don't know. I don't understand." Instead of just saying, "I said," and just stay there. Until. Amen? Amen. Thank God.